to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Stay open to Matthew in chapter 13. I'm going to slide into it from chapter 12. Matthew in chapter 13. There is a family of woodpeckers that live on the church property. And I hear them every morning and I hear them every night. I even pointed them out to some people this morning before the early service. They're not the smartest woodpeckers in the world. I guess they're Baptists. They live right here in the grounds of Fundamental Baptist Church. We have 20 acres here at Fundamental Baptist Church, and I think almost 10 acres of it is wooded. There's all kinds of food for those woodpeckers. But every morning and every night, there's at least two of them, because they do this in concert on two different buildings. We have some metal buildings on this property. And every morning, every night, they're trying to feed off of those buildings. You can hear them pounding, pecking away at the metal over here and the metal over there. And I'm thinking, man, if they keep that up, they are going to starve to death. They're in the midst of trees. There's truth. There's force all around them. And they're trying to get something that isn't there out of metal. There are no bugs in that metal. And I think all they're going to get is a headache out of it, really, you know, and maybe give me one along the way at the same time. And man, there are people like that all over this world. And maybe you're here this morning, or maybe you're listening to a radio broadcast, and you're going to a church that doesn't feed you the Word of God. I would tell you as lovingly as I can, you're going to starve to death in that ministry. And your children are going to starve to death and turn from God in that ministry. Get to a Bible preaching, Bible practicing church and grow in the Word of God. There are people all over our culture. They're starving to death. And the truth is right here with us. The Word of God, the Bible. I got a lot I want to preach this morning, but really just two simple truths. And I'm going to start a series of messages on the parables this morning. There are seven parables. I may combine some of them. But this morning it's just the one parable, the parable of the soils. And the truth is pretty simple. Number one, the Bible is the key. And number two, our part, my heart and my life must be open to the Bible. I'm going to try to drive that home because it happens. There are people that go to good churches and maybe mom and dad bring you to church and it just goes over your head every Sunday, service after service, and nothing's ever really applied. You know, you got some Bible verses memorized and you know, maybe you won some awards along the way and maybe you're one of the good kids, but you don't have a walk with God. No relationship with God. It might be that you're saved. It might be you're an employee of one of the ministries here at Fundamental Baptist Church. You might be a Sunday school teacher. You might be a member of the choir. And really, you don't have a walk with God. You've really got no relationship with God. And that's what this parable is about. Matthew in chapter 12, I'll just, by way of introduction, verse 39, Jesus said, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." Jesus said, the religious leaders wanted him to do some kind of trick, perform a miracle. Jesus said, no signs, no tricks. You've got the sign of Jonah. You've got the death, the burial, you've got Jesus Christ walking in your midst, and that's the only sign you're going to get. He said, the people of Nineveh will rise up in the day of judgment against this generation and be a witness. He said, those Old Testament Gentiles are smarter than some of the religious leaders in Israel today. And by the way, well, I'll get to that in just a moment. Then he refers to verse 42, the queen of the south, that's Sheba. She was more discerning than the Pharisees and the scribes of Jesus' day. Verse 43, he says, and when the unclean spirit, talking about someone that was demon-possessed and the spirit left them, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house, this is the demon speaking, from whence I came out, and when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Good news, the house has been clean. Then goeth he and taketh with him seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter into him and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also with this wicked generation. Let me tell you this, if you're an unbeliever or you're hard to the truth of God, the more you reject Christ, the harder your heart becomes and the colder you become. And he was speaking to Israel here at this point. He's saying, you reject the Messiah and you reject the word of God and the promises of the Messiah. Every second that ticks by, your heart gets even harder. Let me go a step further than that. Maybe you are a child of God. Maybe you are born again, but you're a rebel. And you don't care what the Bible says because you're comfortable in the life that you're living. Every moment and every day that ticks away, that goes by in your life, you get harder to God the Holy Spirit. We're going to read about that in a moment. And there'll be consequences. Then verse 46, I'm in chapter 12. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren are without, desiring to speak with thee. And he answered, and he said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who is my brethren? By the way, that kind of destroys Mariology there. And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. And I just want to say this morning by way of introduction, and I'm ready to get to the book. I belong. I'm in. I'm a member of the family of God. The Bible tells us in John 1:12, but as many as received Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. And if you're not in, then you're not a member of God's family. You're not part of Jesus Christ's brethren. And I invite you, if you're not born again, to get saved today. And he is the only way to heaven. Now we come to chapter 13. There's seven parables here, and the final six for sure are kingdom parables. The first one is a little bit arguable. You say, what do you mean? What do you mean kingdom parables? Well, the kingdom is the millennial kingdom that's yet to come. And the church, that's present. That's where we are right now. And the kingdom parables, by the way, the teachings, the Bible principles apply to all ages. It applies to you and to me. But there's some truth there for the kingdom people as well. And he's talking to Israel there at that point. But in the parable of the soils, it definitely applies to everybody here. And it doesn't say it's a kingdom parable here. It says that same hour or that same day when Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. So at the edge of the Sea of Galilee, seven parables are going to be shared. And great, that's near Capernaum, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And let me read some of this very quickly. It was read by way of introduction. And I want to get down to verse 18. That's where I really want to preach. But it says, a sower went forth to sow. And they were broadcasting the seed of the word of God. And they were casting it everywhere. That's how the old farmers did it at that time. They had this little pouch and they'd cast it and they kind of cover. They just throw a lot of seed and they'd cover a lot of ground. And man, I can't grow much and I don't have any kind of green thumb. And by the way, here's a little announcement I need to make. We need some lady or man to take on these flowers that are out in front of the church or they will be dead in 2 weeks. I'll guarantee it. I've tried the last couple of years and all I do is drown them. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have a green. I can't grow anything. I'm good at growing dandelions. They're everywhere here. Man, you need some help there. I can help you out, but we need some help. So the sower, by the way, is the soul winner. Let me just read it. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of the earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And other fell on good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, and some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. And by the way, we want to be the good ground. And we aren't all gifted the same. We're not gifted the same. But we can all be good soil. We can all be receptive to the Word of God. We can all be open to the Word of God and not hard-hearted. Verse 10 says, and the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And Jesus is going to answer them. But let me say this. God had given Israel light and blessings and grace down through the centuries. Yet they took God for granted. Does that sound familiar? Yet they took God for granted And therefore the parables. Because it's like God was saying, those who don't have ears, they don't listen anyway. They don't understand. The parables were because of Israel's hard hearts. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. There are consequences to ongoing rejection of the truth. There are consequences. Before long, you don't hear the Holy Spirit anymore. Verse 11 says, and he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. They don't understand. The natural man perceiveth not the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. And whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing that ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. There's nothing complicated about this. Israel had rejected John the Baptist. Israel was rejecting Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Israel had rejected all of the Old Testament prophecies. They had their religion. And that's all they were, some of them, that's all they were interested in. Thus the parables. Verse 17, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And we're a special people. Verse 16 says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want you to know something as I preach through this parable very quickly in the time that is left. The key is the Bible. The key is the Word of God. It really comes down to this. There are two approaches to God. One is that the Bible is absolute and it's authoritative. That's our approach. We have one authority. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. The Bible tells us we have a more sure word of prophecy. The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God endureth forever. In this ministry and in any Bible-believing, Bible-practicing ministry, we have one authority. Our approach to God is this book. If my life doesn't measure up, my life is wrong. If I don't agree with the Bible, I am wrong. There's one approach. The other approach is man-made religion. It's church tradition. It's philosophy. Here's what I think the Bible means. Red flag. The Scripture is of no private interpretation. Holy men of God moved, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Two approaches. The Bible's absolute, the verbal plenary inspiration of the Scriptures, or a man-made religion. You know, man-made religions have gone wrong again and again and again. All kinds of religions have turned from God. All kinds of philosophies. The last thing I'm going to do is follow a man. I want to know what God's book says. Doesn't matter what man thinks. Let God be true and all men a liar. Pure and simple. Let's get back here to the text. Verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. Hear the Bible. Hear the word of God. Makes it very clear. Verse 19. When anyone heareth not or heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. This is wasted seed. By the way, let me step back again. The sower is the soul winner, is the ministries of the church. It's the one that's concerned about souls. The seed is the word of God that'll never return void. We're to cast our bread upon all waters. We're to do our very best to get the word of God out so all will hear and all will understand. And it's an amazing thing how prone we are to wander and how quick a church will turn from the Bible and start following some religious dogma. And what we need is the word of God. It's what our forefathers had. It's what Jesus proclaimed. It's what Paul preached. And it's what Peter preached. We have a more sure word of prophecy, and that being the very word of God. That's what Peter said. So that we're to understand this, and we're to get the seed out. Now that seed goes in all directions. Some of it falls on hard ground, the wayside. And Satan is the direct adversary of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says in verse 20, but he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and with a none and joy receiveth it. I'm sorry, back up to verse 9 first. Let me just finish this. This is he which received seed by the wayside. Again, this is the hard heart. If the preacher can stand up and does preach with the power of God and preaches the word of God, and it doesn't affect you, something's wrong. Maybe you're not saved. I don't care if mama says you're saved or not. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're a flat-out rebel and you're very backslidden, but something is wrong. The preacher, if he's a man of God, ought to be able to stand up and read John 3:16. That's enough. Right there, man. God loves me, a sinner. I get eternal life. That ought to be enough to turn your crank right there. Then go on to the next one, verse 20. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and with none with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. And when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, and by he's offended. These are the quitters. These are those that they don't get it. And it's sad. And when difficulties come, they fall by the wayside themselves. And maybe they genuinely got saved, but they're not going to serve God very long. And that's a sad condition to be in. Don't be one of those in those stony places and be that quitter. Verse 22 says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Things get in the way. Other loves and desires get in the way. And this is the backslider. This is the one where the weeds take over. This is the worldly Christian. Every time the word of God is preached, man, you get it, but you love the world. We talked about Demas in Sunday school this morning. 2 Timothy in chapter 4, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Demas, a child of God. Remember Demas? He's gone. He loved the world. Don't be that Christian. Don't let the thorns and the weeds take over. Verse 23 says, and he that received the seed into good ground. Now, this is what I want to think about a little bit here this morning. We want to be that good ground, that soil that's receptive. But he that received the seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, and which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. So this is these are those that are it's good growing ground. They're prepared. They're ready to be used of God. They come to church with an empty cup. They come to church wanting to be blessed. They don't come to church with any kind of attitude. They don't come to church to try to lord over people. By the way, there are no command positions open in the family of God. I want to say that again. There's room only for servants. Nobody gets some stripes and they start ordering people around. You aren't going to find that anywhere in the Word of God. Judas tried to order around those that, wasted the oil. I do remember that. Wrong crowd. But he that be greatest in the kingdom of God and the family of God will be the servant of all. I want to be that good soil. Man, I want to grow. I might not be 100-fold. I might be 30, but I want to see fruit. I want to see the hand of God. I want to see others get born again. I had the privilege of leading people to Christ this week. It's a glorious thing. It's the best thing next to reading my Bible and praying. It's the best thing that I can do to encourage myself in the work of God, to know that's why I'm still here. Let's talk about this for just a moment. Now I want to talk directly to the church, those that are born again. By the way, if you're that one by the wayside, that hard heart, man, surrender and come to Christ before it's too late. If you're the one that's the seed fell into stony ground, you got a stony heart, it's hardened, and you don't really hear the Holy Spirit anymore, you better come back to God. There's no fruitful life there for you. It's going to all amount to nothing. If you're that one that has that thorny soil, it's filled with weeds and cares and loves of this world. You're one that loves power, or loves partying, or loves money and loves position. You know, you understand, there's no fruit there. There's no fruit there. Look around. Nobody's following you. But if you'll be that good ground that brings forth good fruit, the Word of God is planted and it takes hold. My job is to provide that prepared heart. The soil is my heart. When the Word of God hits it, it ought to be able to take root, germinate and take root and grow, and there ought to be a harvest going to keep working on me. There's one thing missing out of this parable. I'm not adding to the Word of God. I'm going to preach you a Bible principle here. In order for a good crop to grow, you can have the right kind of soil. You can work it up. You can toil. You can till the land. You can plant the seed. You can fertilize. You can do everything right. But the climate has got to be right. That's Fundamental Baptist Church. We need to be a welcoming church. We need to be a church that knows the joy of the Lord. I get this. I hear it. I hear the good stuff regularly. Man, your church is on fire. The church is so friendly. And you know, everybody seems to be smiling. And I'm telling you, we got to guard that. We got to develop it. That unified church, that's the one that God can bless. You know what Jesus said in John in chapter 13 and verse 35? The world will know you're my disciples by your love one for another. Not by a title. Not by a sign out in front of the church. Not by the way you dress even. They'll know you're my disciples because it'll be real. It'll be on the inside by your love one for another. Sometimes the hardest people to love are other members of the family of God. The world will identify that love. By the way, the world will. If you were here in Sunday school, it said we're to walk in wisdom before those that are without, talking about the unsaved. Man, we need a testimony. In order to have the right climate, we need to have love one for another. It's not always easy, and I think I said in Sunday school, if it were easy, you wouldn't need the grace of God. You could just do it in your own strength. It's not easy. And by the way, the more spiritual person, you defer for the privilege of leadership. You know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about any kind of compromise, Bible compromise. I'm talking about giving myself, willing to be used for the glory of God, the greater glory of God, if that's what it takes. If we have a church full of people like that, people will be beating down the doors to get here. You know, they know about us. They're hearing about us. I get it all the time. I get it regular. Let's let them see the love of God. Red carpet welcome at Fundamental Baptist Church. Everybody's welcome. You need to go after visitors. I want to say this. Galatians 6:10. And you go after visitors or you appear self-righteous. You say, well, they're the visitor. I'm waiting for them to come up and shake my hand. Oh, no. If you don't go after them, they will leave this place and the devil will whisper in their ear before they get a mile down the road, you know, so-and-so saw you and they didn't even say hi to you. So You need to go after people. You need to be the spiritual one. Or you're going to appear self-righteous, even though you're not. You'll go home rejoicing that they were here in church. They'll go home thinking, well, nobody really wants them here. And then they don't come back. And we miss it. We need to be unified. We need to have that open door. And the last thing is there needs to be gospel clarity. No mistakes. No mistakes. There's one way to heaven. You know, that was a pretty good service today, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. I've never been in a church like that. You know, I felt like God was there. They talked a lot about Jesus. Even when they sang about Jesus. And they called him Father. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. That's what Jesus said. We need to be known not as the Baptist church. We need to be known as the church that follows Christ. Man, we got to help people understand that. You lead people to Christ. I tell you what you need to do is, it was brought out in Sunday school by somebody here this morning. You put them at ease. You let them understand you're not there preaching down your long, bony nose at some sinner. You help them to understand we're all sinners. And tell them about the best friend you have. And his name is Jesus. Parable of the soils. I see the truths here. I see the sower is the soul winner. I see the seed is the word of God. I see the four different kinds of hearts that seed falls into. One, it just doesn't even get planted. Too hard. Not interested. Some, the seed gets planted, but there's really no root, and the fowl comes. That's a devourer, by the way. That's a picture of the devil. And he steals away the seed after a while. Some, there's a lot of thorns, a lot of complications. They love sin. They love what the world has to offer, not yet growing up enough to understand how empty it is. And some is good soil. And there's a harvest. My part is to make sure the climate is right. I'm ready, Lord. Even so, Lord Jesus. I heard a sermon, I guess it was this last week. Never thought about it in this light before. Bible says we're to pray for the soon return of Christ and pray for Israel. Bible ends by saying, even so, Lord Jesus, come. But the thought was this, Lord, come quickly, but don't come today. I still have another family member that isn't yet born again. I'm going to see them now. There needs to be that harvest. In closing this message, let's develop the right climate here at Fundamental Baptist Church. By the way, as soon as God starts working, the devil starts working. Doesn't take much. Allow God to get that seed planted all around us.
We have a fine K-12 academy here on the campus of Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. It is highly academic and Christ-centered. If you have a child or even a grandchild, we invite you to check us out at fbconline.net. Maybe you would like scholarship, a needy student. So please contact us at 906-495-5200. The website is fbconline.net. You can help us reach the next generation by training champions for Christ.